Hi, I'm Ron Van Dam, probably. Today on the program, Wendy Brazilian will be joining me. She's written a book called Eat Clean, Eat Healthy. We'll find out what eating clean is. I assume it's better than eating dirty, which could be kind of interesting, to be honest with you. And also, actress Sarah Rue will be joining us. She's a lot of fun. She's had her own weight struggles. She's looking pretty good now, but she had some weight problems. Don't we all? My biggest problem is I was using a pencil this morning and the tip of the pencil broke and I had to sharpen it all over again. Does my life get any more complicated? I don't know.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Tip of the pencil broke right off.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show. I just want you to know what you're listening to. This isn't Sports Central or fantasy football or anything. It's not that. I don't know what it is, but it's not that. Hey. Good to be with you on this fine day. I'm a little bit chagrined. I'm registered as an independent, but I lean Democrat because if I lean the other way Republican, I probably might as well just stick my head in a cesspool, and I don't really want to do that. So I lean to the left if you're politically going to tag me. And I was very, yesterday, Vice President Joe Biden announced that he will not be running for president in 2016. And I was a bit forlorn for two reasons. One, because I think he's a terrific, terrific guy. I can see into his soul, and I believe him. He's been in politics since he was like 25 years old, but he's not been emerged in a divisive manner. So he's like the best of both worlds. And I can see his heart, and I agree with a lot of the stuff he does. A lot of the stuff, not everything. And I thought, wow, in this field of total losers, and I mean that, Donald Trump, you know, the joke's over. Stop it. I've said this before. I think what happened was I went to bed one night and everybody said, okay, he's sleeping now. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to make believe that we think Donald Trump would be a great president. I know it's hard to say, but so we're going to play this joke on Ron. And when he wakes up, we're all going to say that we want Donald Trump to be president. And we've told about 17 million people this. They're all in on the joke. It's all against Ron. 17 million people against Ron. And when he wakes up, we'll tell all the television stations to go along with the joke and to talk about how Donald Trump is doing well in the polls and all that. Oh, he's going to love this. And this is going to be a great practical joke. Ron will just go crazy. He won't be able to understand what's going on. This will be the most orchestrated practical joke in the history of all time. And then I woke up the next morning and they laid this on me. They said, Donald, everybody loves Donald Trump. Everybody loves Donald Trump. He could be president. Why this egotistical asshole could actually be president of the United States. And Ron's gonna buy it. Listen to this. Ron's going to buy it. He's going to get all upset. Well, ladies and gentlemen, very nice, intricate joke that you've played on me, but the joke is over now. Can we just admit that the joke was over and it was all a stupid joke and all you did was want to piss me off for like 6 months? All right, it worked. Let's just stop it now. So that's one possibility. The other is Hillary Clinton, who also is a very smug asshole. I don't agree with all of her policies, and I think that she's confused, and I think she's nothing but a machine. And I don't like voting for machines. She is in the thick of politics. She says stupid things as well, just like Trump does. Only when she says it, she gets in trouble. When Trump says it, he becomes a hero. And I can't figure out how that's... It's a practical joke. That's what it is. It's a practical joke on me. Hillary Clinton said one of her biggest enemies is the Republican Party. And that was just... That's it. That's it, man. I can't handle that. If you are going to tell me as a presidential candidate that one of your biggest enemies is the other political party, then you are taking me down the path of doom, young lady. They're not the enemy. As Joe Biden so well put it, I paraphrase what Vice President Joe Biden said. He said, the Republicans are not our enemies. They may be our oppositions, but they're our partners in this country. So stupid, Hillary. So stupid. So stupid. So I don't know who to vote for now. So I was hoping that Joe Biden would jump in the race so I'd have something to vote for. This man... I think he's fantastic, but he's not going to run for president. So now, like, I'm just hung out to dry like a piece of wrinkled, dirty laundry. Anyway, enough political talk. You're boring me. Stop it now. Joe Biden said exactly the way that I feel, and this is why I would vote for him, but I can't because he's not running now, but... He said, I think the most important issue facing this country is this country. This country is fucking itself up. Its biggest enemy is itself. We are more divided than we ever have been because of these stupid political party situations here. These political party divisions. It has nothing to do with making the country greater. It has to do with destroying the other political party. For beating them, for winning the battle, winning the war, for taking control, as opposed to melding the two parties. Once the elections are over, they work together, the country becomes better. I mean, here's Hillary Clinton saying the Republicans are her enemy, and they've acted like it, to be honest with you. Yes, but you don't say it and you don't really feel it. And then there's Donald Trump, who says, let's make America great again. To me, that means America sucks right now, and a lot of people happen to agree with him. So, I mean, if we're going to walk around saying this country sucks, why display the flag if you think it's so horrible? If it sucks so much, why can't somebody make it less sucky? Why do we have to be our own worst enemies? As I've said, we're like a football team playing the other team, and all we do is make mistakes, incur penalties. We can't catch a ball. We can't defend ourselves because we don't have it together. We're not a strong team. And as long as the Republicans and the Democrats consider each other enemies, we're not on the same team. And we go nowhere. As a matter of fact, we go downhill. And that's what Joe Biden was saying. That's why I thought he was pretty cool. That's the biggest issue facing this country. It's ourselves. Sorry, I got serious for just a minute. I always apologize for getting serious. It's supposed to be a comedy show. I don't know if you know that or not. That's the way it's categorized as comedy. So I apologize immediately. I immediately apologize to you. We're going to get right into our first interview this morning. Actress Sarah Rue joins us. Sarah's a lot of fun. I've spoken to her before. She's on many, many television shows, and she's just, she's a lot of fun. Let's speak to Sarah right now. Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, how's it going?
Wonderful. Let's say
hello. Go Pats, Ron. Go Pats.
God. It's all about football, isn't it?
No, I'm just, my husband's from Boston, so in my house it's pretty prevalent these days.
Yeah, I'm not a big sports guy, but thank you Appreciate it.
Come on, I'm trying to be supportive. This is your neck of the woods here.
I know. You know, you're making me feel inadequate already.
Oh, no. All right. Oh, man, I thought I was golden talking to the New England radio station saying, go Pats. I was like, I've got it in.
Oh, no, you definitely do. Everybody loves you now for sure and did before, but not for me specifically, no, didn't work. But everybody else is thrilled with that comment.
I'll try to come up with something else before the end of the year.
All right. Yeah, before the end of the interview, if you could. Actress Sarah Rue joins us. You've seen her on The Big Bang Theory and all these game shows and many other television appearances. Good to have you here. And Dr. Holly Wyatt joins us as well. She's a medical director at the Wellness Clinic at the University of Colorado, and she was a medical director on the documentary series Extreme Weight Loss. I guess it is documentary in a sense. Welcome to the both of you. Thank you. Are you calling from New York?
Yeah, we're in New York right now.
Go Giants! Okay, that's fine. All right.
Actually, it's pretty exciting. I was born and raised in New York. Uh-huh. I live in LA now, but I was a Mets fan growing up. So this is kind of an exciting time here. It's fun to be in the city when the Mets are doing so well. Again, I'm talking about sports. And I also want you to know that I do not care about sports, and I think it's funny that I've spent a lot of time talking about it.
Good. Well, that's okay. I'm from New York as well, and I was also a Mets fan. But let's get into this interview, though.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, we're talking about weight loss, and my God, there's nothing that means anything to people more than weight loss, even though they don't admit it, because it's something that you just can't conquer. And I've struggled with it. Most people have. And when you get older, it becomes like the golden rule that you're going to have struggles here. Sarah, you actually have struggled as well, I understand.
Yes, I have. On and off my whole life, I've struggled with managing my weight. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am here talking to you today. So I partnered with Takeda on a new campaign called Resolve Now, Stay mm-hmm. Ahead of the Curve. And it's an awareness campaign, and we're just raising awareness about the seriousness of obesity in this country. 66% of women over the age of 20 in this country are overweight or obese, which is, when you think about it, two-thirds of that, population.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty big number. And so this campaign is sort of designed to inspire those women to take action now. If they want to see a difference, if they want to make a change, to take some action rather than waiting for the new year and making that resolution that none of us ever keep.
Exactly.
So what we're talking about is just making some lifestyle changes, maybe talking to your doctor, getting a plan that's specific to you, because weight loss is so different. For what worked for me may not work for somebody else, but the idea is that your healthcare provider should know you and your body the best and should be able to at least get you going and get you started on a good path.
Dr. Holly Wyatt joins us as well. You're an endocrinologist?
That's correct. Yes.
And for people that exercise and they eat properly and they don't eat a lot of food and they still struggle with weight gain, are there medical reasons that people can't lose?
Obesity and overweight are very complex issues, and yes, there are some medical issues. There's environmental issues. Genetically, some people struggle more than others. There's a lot of reasons why people struggle with their weight and why they have difficulty losing weight, but we actually do have tools that can help them, so it's not hopeless, but you do need to get some help, and that's why I like this campaign, too, is because it really does send you to your doctor. We know that being overweight and obese has a medical piece to it, and that's a great place to start, like Sarah said. And so it's difficult, but you can succeed, and going to your doctor and asking them for help is the first place to start.
Sarah, how did you succeed? What was your method?
For me, it was more about lifestyle changes and not trying not to be like, okay, I'm not going to eat this and I am going to do that. Like, trying to sort of make general sweeping lifestyle changes about being more conscious about what I put into my body. And so now, I try to eat a mostly plant-based diet, and I try to, you know, move a lot. I have a 2-year-old, and I'm trying to be a good example for her. But again, you know, what worked for me may not work for other people. Yeah. Like, other people may need an exact regimented plan, and that's where the doctor can come in. But I also think one thing that was key for me is I had a really incredible support system in my husband, who was so kind and patient and always there for me. And I was really, really lucky. So that's why I like this idea of talking to your doctor, because they have to support you. They're your doctor. Like, that's their job. They need to take the time and listen to you and support you. And also, if you go to iresolvenow.com, that website has, you know, my personal story. You can share your own personal story. I think it creates a feeling of community, and you're not alone. And if it's a change that you want to make, you know, even though it's hard, it is doable.
Yeah. Well, you're talking at the perfect time for this, because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I have a fear of going into the holidays, not only because I don't like them that much, but also because I know that I'm going to eat more than I usually eat. And when the summer months go away, I tend to store food like a chipmunk. And it's a concern, and I think a lot of people have that.
Yeah, and I think that's why this idea of not putting it off, you know, not, like, procrastinating is really dangerous in every way, right? So if you do it now, and I don't know, I kind of think there's something very empowering about, wow, I made it through Halloween and I didn't eat all my kids' candy this year, and I feel really good about myself, or whatever it is that's sort of your trigger, like tackling that head on and not falling victim to it again for another year in a row can be really empowering for people. So that's why this sort of, you know, it's resolve now, stay ahead of the curve, as opposed to waiting and then, you know, maybe, you know, for me in the past, like the holiday season, like you said, like I would always gain weight, and then you get to January and you're like, ugh, I'm so much further away than from my goal than I wanted to be, because I let this time slip away. And time is just going to keep marching on, and we have to choose whether or not we go forward as well. So I think that's why this campaign is great being launched right now.
Dr. Wyatt, it's interesting because people don't talk to their doctors about it. They go to the drugstore and they don't even call them drugstores anymore. I don't think you're supposed to do that. And you pick up over the counter stuff that messes up your metabolism, and you go on these eat foods that are shipped to you. So you kind of take it on yourself to try thousands of things, and you rarely talk to your doctor about this. And you're saying reverse that, talk to them first.
Right. I mean, we now know that obesity and overweight, like I said, is a medical condition, and we didn't used to necessarily think that. So I think we've kind of got into this habit of thinking we have to do it by ourselves, that we can't bring it up with our doctor. But absolutely, it is a medical condition. There are tools and strategies and lots of different things. And really, it's the doctor's job to kind of match you with what's going to work best, given your medical history, given what you can and, you know, you can't do, what's worked in the past. All those things play a role. And so you should bring it up with your doctor.
Excellent. I know we're running out of time. How can we get more information about this?
Well, I would say just go to iresolvenow.com. It will give you all the information you need to get started on your journey. That website is a great place to start, and maybe, you know, make an appointment with your doctor and take some action now.
Absolutely. Dr. Holly Wyatt and Sarah Rue, thank you so much for your time. It's been fun, and let's all lose weight together and feel better about ourselves and be healthier.
That sounds good. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickerschechter Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickerschechter. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
You're listening to The Big Show with Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, that's not true, really. Exaggeration. I don't really say bad words that frequently. No more than you do. Well, less than you do. Yeah, I think I've told you before, if you've been listening to me, when I was brought up by the parents of which I was accustomed, they never cursed in front of me. I never heard my father or mother say one curse word ever, not as a child, not as an adult. I never heard them curse. I never heard them say anything that was offensive verbally. Sure, they called me a little jerk, maybe, but they never muttered a curse word. As a result, when I was growing up, I didn't curse at all either. I was not taught, but I was environmentally conditioned that was not a part of the vocabulary, that people who knew how to speak properly, who knew the English language and the use of the words that were created for expression purposes, didn't use curse words, because curse words are simply stupid. They don't express anything. It's a frustrating, angry, definitively low-brow way of expressing yourself. And everybody I know curses. They've all cursed to me, not at me necessarily. Some have, but mostly not. But they use the curse word as an adjective in front of any given noun, any noun you want. And I find it offensive because that was the way I was brought up. And as I've said, I didn't really start using the every once in a while occasional curse word until I did a podcast, because you can do that here because we're not FCC regulated. When I do a show that I know is going to appear on syndicated radio, which we do as well, some of our shows go to syndicated broadcast radio stations, I can't do that. I have to be myself because I don't curse. When I curse, I'm almost like, it's either I'm doing it on purpose for theatrical purposes because you curse, so I figure I'll appease you somehow, or I simply really do lose my control of the English language. It would be a loss of control that would cause me to curse, not an on-purpose reason to curse in that sense. So, as far as the, you know, Ron says bad words, I don't say bad words. The only bad words I say are in the English language. All right, fine. Enough. Enough of you. Enough of you. We're going to go right to my next guest, who is an accomplished author. She's a friend. She's Wendy Brazilian. She's written a book called Eat Clean, Eat Healthy. This is something that I want to do. So many times I get little cravings for food. I think I eat when I'm bored. If I'm busy, I don't eat. If I have nothing to do and I'm just sitting around watching TV or picking my crotch, I will have something to eat to keep my hands busy so I don't pick my crotch. I don't really do that. It was just an example of when someone has nothing to do. So I open up the pantry or whatever, or I tell the butler. No, I don't have a butler. I open up the pantry and I see like maybe a peanut butter cracker or a little piece of a candy bar or something sweet. And I'll say, you know, I'll just have one. I'll just have a little bit. And then when I do that, I feel bad. And I know that if that piece of candy or that piece of sweet was not there, I would not have eaten it. I'm not going to get in my car and go drive into a supermarket to have something sweet to eat. I'm way too lazy for that. And that's where my laziness plays into my health rather well. But if it's right in front of me, as it is with anybody, you just go for it. Oh, I only live once. You only live once. You know, we're only on this earth for a certain amount of time. You only live once. Why not have it? Want a piece of chocolate? Go have a piece of chocolate. If the chocolate wasn't there, I wouldn't want the chocolate. I wouldn't eat the chocolate. So it's all environment. It's all setting up your environment. And this is what my good friend Wendy Brazilian is talking about. I'm going to talk to her right now. And I'd like you to listen to her as I talk to her. It's called an interview. That's what that's called.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Wendy. Wendy Brazilian joins us. Pleasure to have you here. Thanks for coming into our little home here. Hey.
Oh, I'm so pleased to be with you.
Wonderful. What part of the country are you in, by the way?
I'm currently in New York City, but I'm from San Diego.
Wow.
I've been living there for about 20 years. But
wonderful.
New York today.
Tomorrow, Philadelphia. Who knows?
Right.
We're talking about a new book. She is the author of Eat Clean, Stay Clean, in cooperation with the Prevention. This is a topic that we talk about on the show all the time. We understand somewhat how to eat clean, although we'll find out what that's about, but staying clean is the tough part. So tell me about the concept of eating clean.
Well, eating clean is, simply put, it's about choosing real, whole, simple ingredients, real whole foods, while minimizing the ultra-processed foods, trying to maintain a chemical-free diet as much as possible, and reducing those artificials, the flavors, colors, additives in our food.
Okay. Let's say green beans that you get, in the produce area in a supermarket, frozen green beans and green beans in a can, all the same?
Well, you know what? I'm really happy with the first two. The fresh, wholesome green bean, if you put on your reading glasses and look real close, if it had an ingredient list, it would say green bean.
Yeah.
And if you, and that's a clean food. That's the only ingredient in it.
Okay.
If you look at a frozen green bean as well, if you look at the ingredient list, that's the most important thing to look at. If it says green beans, then you're good there.
Okay.
You know, you are having a convenient choice that was picked at the peak of ripeness and blanched and flash frozen, so that's also a clean choice. The cans is where you really got to watch it. Many times they're processed in a way where a lot of added sodium is put into the can, sometimes some other additives and preservatives. So it's really important to take a look.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that cans are bad. Some canned foods are fine,
right.
But it really requires you to take a look at that ingredient list.
Okay. Well, even something as simple as pasta, which I think is a lot of carbs, but that has all kinds of things in it, right? I mean, how do you do foods that aren't grown and consume those?
Right. So the idea of Eat Clean, Stay Lean is really about a roadmap to help you navigate. So, you know, certainly you're choosing a whole food that Mother Nature grew for you and you're eating it fresh. That's obviously clean eating. But then how do you navigate the sea of choices in the grocery store, I think, is what you're asking. Because we're not raising our own wheat to make our own pasta.
No, not anymore.
So, again, you go to the ingredient list, and pasta is carbs. I mean, that they are carbs. But you want to look for a whole grain wheat or a gluten-free whole grain. There's a lot of options out there and varieties. And so you start, again, looking at the ingredient list to see if it's worth your time.
Uh-huh.
You know, the idea about staying lean while you're eating clean is really about the mountains of research that when you eat nutrient-rich foods, you know, that have nutritional density from their real whole food ingredients, you actually can maintain and benefit your health in a number of ways, including weight management, but also your brain and your heart and your joints, and the list goes on.
Now, what do you use to cook in? Butter, margarine, I guess, has a lot of chemicals in it. Oils, I mean, what is the preference here as far as clean is concerned in cooking method?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, such an important one. Fat is on the menu, you know, and there are some great, clean sources of fat. So if you look at a butter, for example, is it an organic butter? Yeah. Certainly, before you start doing kind of a laboratory experiment that is an imposter masquerading as a spread, which might be a margarine and may have some of those trans fats in them, or the word hydrogenated.
Yes.
So absolutely. And then look to other kinds of healthy oils, like the extra virgin olive oils, the avocado oils, and fat sources that come from real whole foods. Okay. So same deal there. It's looking across all the aisles. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, fat transfers flavor. Taste is extremely important when it comes to maintaining and navigating the day-to-day of our life, because why we eat, frankly, is because it tastes good. Flavor reigns.
Yeah.
And so right down to those herbs and spices in those bottles, you want to make sure that you're choosing quality, flavorful herbs and spices that are that are pure. They are what they are.
Gotcha. Okay, now what do you do if you're going out to a restaurant or to a party? You're out of control with that stuff. I don't know what's in this.
Well, a few different things. If you're at a restaurant, ask questions. You know, I mean, seriously, ask questions of your server, of the chef, and try to keep it simple when you're at a restaurant. You can have, you know, decadent cuisine. I don't mean that it has to be steamed and plain and grilled. But have a lean protein. Have a vegetable side. Have something that you recognize. Maybe you do pass on the bread basket, but maybe it's not because you're on a diet, but because you're not. You're going to save your carbohydrates for something of more value. And, you know, when you go to a party, do as the best you can. You know, choose the things that aren't, you know, commercially bought, obviously store-bought items, and maybe choose something special that someone made homemade for you.
Okay.
There you're not going to be asking them, you know, what exactly is in your recipe.
Yeah.
But that's the place where maybe you have a little bit more wiggle room, because at home you're controlling the environment, you're making it a clean eating environment, so you don't worry as much once in a while to have something else that someone's prepared.
It's my new enemy is salt. I mean, when I start looking at the sodium content of prepared foods, I get actually amazingly scared. I can't believe this.
Yeah, and with reason, for certain.
Oh, my God.
You know, 80% of the salt that we consume is not from what we put on our food or that we cook at home.
Yeah.
It's from processed packaged foods and restaurant meals.
Awful.
And, you know, you can look to your spice and herb cabinet to help reduce the excess salt, fat, and sugar there. That's a no-brainer when it comes to building flavor and removing that kind of scary, as you said, salt.
So the last point is the second part of the title, which is stay clean. We can all get into things, but staying into things is tough. And I know, I think the smartest recommendation I've ever heard is to change the atmosphere of your kitchen.
Yeah, change your eating environment. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a little three R's, I call them, the rid, restock, reorganize.
Mm-hmm.
If you take your kitchen section by section, you take your pantry, your refrigerator, your freezer, your cupboards, your cabinet, your, you know, your counter space, and little by little, it's not an overnight overhaul, but you do a little bit of this kind of clean eating. You look for the whole real ingredients. You start removing. You box them up or you toss them, and you give them away. Those ones that have the artificial ingredients and the chemicals, you will see that your environment transforms and your vitality, your energy, and your health benefits.
Yeah, there's no question that everybody's tantalized by opening up the pantry and, oh, there is a cookie. And if that cookie wasn't there, you may not be eating that thing.
You know, you hit the nail right on the head there. If it's not there, you're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the book has 150 recipes, including a steel-cut oatmeal raisin cookie, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to, if you're going to make it yourself, you know, make it with good ingredients.
Right.
Try some of the recipes. They're all delicious, I assure you that. And people have been posting, which is really fun. They take pictures and they post it on my Facebook page. Oh, I tried your recipe. But, you know, you can have cookies. Just make them with clean ingredients.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, remember that portion doesn't matter at the end of the day a little bit, too.
Okay, cool. It's called Eat Clean and Stay Clean. And it could be the new Bible of being healthy. I don't know.
I appreciate that.
How do we get more information?
You can go to eatclean.com for more information about the book and lots of additional tips.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Take
care.
Bye-bye. Wendy. Wendy's a very up person. I like up people. I am not an up person myself. I have a very positive outlook on things, but I'm not up. I don't exude cheerfulness. Cheerleaders exhaust me just from watching them live. I mean, they are so cheery about everything, so positive, so up. They're always shaking their pom-poms at me. Hey, it's going to be great. Hey, this is going to be fun. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? I do admire that. I like to be around cheerleaders for a period of time. Then they start to really annoy me. But the exhilaration that I get from a very positive person is a wonderful feeling. I do feel like life is so exciting and wonderful, and the possibilities are all there, and everything is laid out for you for the picking. Do you want this? It is yours. You can have this if you want, if you have the right positive outlook. Come on, team. Come on, team. I mean, it's very, very uplift. I like to be around people like that for about 15, 20 minutes. After that, not so much. I just meld back into my laid-back kind of... Have you noticed that tall... I'm very tall, by the way. I'm 6'3" if I stand up straight. And anybody who is over 6 feet understands that standing up straight is not that easy, because there's a lot of body to get up there, you know? There's a lot of body to stand up straight. When you're short, there isn't that much to deal with. When you're tall, you got to deal with your back and putting your shoulders back. It's a whole nother ball game, which you probably don't understand unless you're over 6 feet tall. So I'm 6'3". I've been 6'3" for most of my life, since I was like 14 years old. I like sprouted up like a plant, you know? I've been 6'3" since about 14 years old. I was unusually large, unusually tall, I should say. Very skinny, unusually tall. I was built like a string bean. As a matter of fact, in school, my nickname was Beans. And some people call me Bones. I mean, they wouldn't call me Bones anymore or Beans. They'd call me something else, which I have been called many times. But that's not the point. When you're tall, anyway, so I'm 6'3". Tall people tend to be more laid back. You very, very rarely see a very excitable, high-strung, tall person. They're always described as being confident and laid back. A short person, in retrospect, in comparison, I should say, is usually the Napoleonic complex, where they're bigger than they think they are, and their personality has to rise above their height. They compensate for the height problem with a huge drive. So they tend to be a bit more annoying, over-expressive, over-dramatic, difficult to deal with. Yeah, it's you. I'm talking about you. As opposed to two laid-back tall people, whatever. My friend John Shanahan, who does the comedy commercials and the announcements on these shows, and thank you so much, John. He's tall like me. He's well over 6 feet tall as well. When we get together, we sit back in a chair and we drink wine and we just chill. And if you've ever heard the phrase just sitting back and talking and chilling, that's exactly what we do. There's no drama. There's no overexcitement about anything. It's just life just kind of floats before you and you take it in, and nothing to get up about, nothing to get up and get all excited about. It's just sit back, have your wine, and let it go. That's how I'm comfortable, man. All right. Did you read about Lamar Odom? Now, he, of course, was found, my friend Dennis Hoff there with the Moonlight Bunny Ranch and the Love Ranch is where this thing happened. They are brothels in Nevada that are totally legal. Well, he wouldn't want to call them whorehouses, although they've been referred to as that, I suppose is what they are. They're houses of prostitution, and they're legal. And celebrities and politicians go there, and regular people like you and me, or I should say you, would go there. I've been invited out there a number of times. I've not gone for obvious reasons, but I have been invited. Lamar Odom, an ex-NBA star, is married to Khloe Kardashian. They're separated. They file for divorce. And I guess as a result, Lamar Odom goes to the Love Ranch there and has sex with girls for money. Of course, that's what guys do. And apparently he was there. And they're very secretive about who goes to their houses of prostitution because it's legal, but it's not something everybody should want, you don't want them all to know about. But now they know about you, Lamar Odom, because they found him unconscious last week in one of the fun rooms. You get a suite, and the girls come in, and let's be honest, you fuck them, and then you go back to sleep. I mean, it's, and you have a good time. So apparently, he took some stuff, and we don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that he took massive amounts of Viagra. Viagra, as you know, is a little blue pill that makes Dickie Johnson stand up and take notice. Wasn't aware that Lamar Odom would have to take something like that, and I know that's kind of racist, but I didn't think that that was a problem. He's not like 70 years old. The guy's like viable enough to get it up on his own, but I don't know. But he took large amounts of this stuff, Viagra. And I'm wondering, like, why large amounts? How much, what does it take? What does it take to maintain your erection? I mean, naked girls, a few of them jumping on your bones, you need Viagra for that? That's a personal thing. I'm not going to make comment. If you do have to take Viagra to get little Johnny to raise the flag to full mast, how much do you need? How much do you need? Anywhere, I think I've just embarrassed Lamar Odom as if he cared about me. I don't think he does. But, you know, for every need, for every want, there is a person who will satisfy your needs and wants. And Lamar wanted to go to a place and fuck girls for money. And actually, I think he pays them. I guess if you're a big enough star, wouldn't the girls pay you? Hey, guess who I fucked last night? You wouldn't believe it. Yeah, it was just $100. It was worth it. But I think you pay the girls. But, you know, if you want it, it's there. I don't know.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, 'cause it may not last. You better hurry, 'cause it's going fast. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up fast. If you want it anytime, I can give it. But you better hurry, 'cause it may not last. You better hurry, 'cause it's going fast. You better hurry, 'cause it's going fast. Fooling is money. Sonny, if you want it, here it is. Come and get it, but you better. cause it's going fast. You better hurry cause it's going fast. You better hurry cause it's going fast.
Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Join me tomorrow.